Welcome to the first episode of the Growing Conversations podcast.
By the way, the fact that you're listening to this episode means you're one of the very few that's been specially invited to the conversation. So the whole idea behind this project is that the conversations grow so we learn together. So please get in touch with me, andre@communitystorywork.co.uk, and my mobile number is 07591 200119. That's 07591 200119. Hope to hear from you soon. Cheers.
In this episode, we drop in on the conversation between Leah Salter and Vicky Reynolds as they talk about the importance of solidarity and relational understanding.
We've kind of been put in touch with each other because we had such similar kind of interests and work contexts and passions, I guess.
I think there was a real thread of collective ethics.
Yeah.
And I think Gail Simon saw that and wove us kind of together that way.
I think at that point, I would have been referencing your work and other people's work at the level of theory and would have understood that that was influential to my thinking, but I don't think I would have been able to articulate at that point how influential it had been and continues to be in my practice and how my practice is in conversation with that and how our practices are, you know, that is a form of solidarity, you know, me doing what I do in Wales, you doing what you do in Canada, Gail doing what she does in north of England, you know, that is what we've been talking about today, that is a solidarity practice because we're all shouldering each other up in different areas doing what we do. But I wouldn't have had the language for that back then. So the kind, you know, what Gail did by connecting us was help me to speak to that in a much more coherent way. And I don't mean coherent as in saying things the way that academics want you to say them. I mean coherent as in it created a coherence for me in my practice. And that was really important.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to what I was saying about pre-existing solidarity, that solidarity is never about unity, it's about points of connection. Like, there are really important discernments, certainly in our locations, you know, politically, the context of our work, the kind of necropolitics or structural abandonment we're responding to is extremely different, and there's a specificity of what that looks like in the context of the work that we do. But there's so many points of connection, you know, so finding you and having conversations that made more visible to each other, you know, our sites of connection and solidarity, that was really important to me. That really mattered to me. And I was, I think I was just on the other side of my PhD at that time, but I was publishing a lot, I was writing a lot. You know, I do think that academia is a site of resistance, like it's a site of white supremacy and structural, you know, problems and everything, but there's also spaces of justice within there. And given that people have to have master's degrees to, you know, that this is the gatekeeping space, we need to be in there. We need to be using those avenues for witness and for, like, as sites of resistance. Yeah.
Definitely.
And I see that in your work, and I saw that early in your work as, like, how important that was and what kind of contribution that was going to make. And also you as a teacher as well. So it's not, you know, it's also a matter of, trying to foment a culture of resistance where you're shouldering up other people to try to bring some of that on as well. It's really important.
Yeah, I completely agree. The idea of, so something that the Family Institute over the decades has really, I was going to say nurtured, but it's more than nurtured. It's really generated, I guess, this kind of culture of, you know, when we're in a learning space, it is collective learning. It is not about, you know, a teacher and, you know, some other people who are defined as learners. You know, we are all, you know, learning from each other and learning from each other's practices, most importantly. And I think that's been so important in my work. But I think there's a kind of point of clarification for me in terms of that, you know, that idea around, you know, write, make sure you write. And it's not about it, and I know you know this, Vicky, but, you know, it's not about writing for writing's sake. It's not about writing to get your own name kind of out there.
Yeah.
It's about making sure the ideas and the practices are visible and seen, and that we are speaking, you know, we are speaking into something that has been constructed in a particular kind of way that excludes the kind of writing that we're all interested in, which is writing that is that comes from relationship, that comes from an ethical place. It's writing that comes from kind of understanding something about our position within the kind of communities in which with whom we're working with, and that kind of writing is not otherwise visible unless we're part of that, unless we're kind of making it visible.
Yeah.
Because the invitation is to write in very kind of very bland, very neutral, very objective ways, and ways that render people invisible.
Yeah.
And that's not the kind of writing that we're talking about.
Yeah. I think about Patty Lather, you know, professor from, I think, Michigan, who talks about catalytic validity, that research is important not for what it can measure, but for what it can do. And just thinking that, you know, certainly when I started to, I mean, I kind of wrote a PhD to learn how to write, to figure out how to write in a way that would make transparent, public, and clear what it meant to bring social justice activists or justice doing. What does that look like in practice? That's what I'm trying to make, reveal that.
Yeah.
And, you know, my work has been picked up by activists because I think there's a hunger for those collective ethics of justice doing, and I think people see themselves reflected in that, you know, from a witnessing kind of perspective. So Gail Simon kind of reaching across the pond and inviting me to write about this, that was a big thing for me, because I was like, ooh, I'm not like important and all that kind of stuff. And in my first dialogue with Gail, I really got that's not what this was about, that this is like, actually, she told me it was actually an ethical requirement for me to publish my methodology chapter, which I ended up writing an article for her that she edited called The Solidarity Approach, The Rhizome and Messy Practice. And what she was saying is, in particular, queer communities wanted to use that methodology, but couldn't because it wasn't a real methodology unless it got published in a textbook. And so the reification of things through publication is also an act of resistance, right? And so I would stand by that chapter. It has mattered. But it's also mattered as an exercise of power to become something real so that it can be, you know, utilized in a way that's a solidarity way. And I think about, Patty Lather talking about, you know, that catalytic validity. She also talks about messy practice. But this idea that nobody who's got an orientation for justice doing or an ethic of justice doing in any way wants to do a PhD that's, like you said, self-promoting or self-serving or more of their voice. Like, it's got to do something, you know? So for me, it had to matter. It had to land on the ground. It had to do something.
You were talking about Patty Lather, but her work was influential to me as well. And one of the quotes that has really stood out for me is Patty has said, like, she talks about, like, the inevitability of failure in qualitative research, particularly like feminist informed research. I think that idea that, you know, fairness comes from a privileged position and a position of justice doing comes from a very different position to that, and comes from the struggle. And I think what Patty Lather does is talk to the struggle and the inevitability of failure when you're trying to create something that is fair, when you're speaking out of and into struggle when it comes to research. The work that she did with her colleague, where they were working with women, HIV positive women, who were part of a program together, I think, and then they and Patty and her colleague did some research with them. And how they wrote up their research, they tried to do in a way that did justice to the women who shared their stories. So they wanted to privilege the women's stories. So they wrote it up in such a way that, so they really considered like the aesthetics of their work. And they wrote it so that the women's voices took up like 2/3 or 3/4 of the page. And then the voices of the researchers took up less of the page. And then they sort of showed this to the women. And this is my recollection. So this is very third, fourth, fifth hand story. My recollection is that they said, we don't like that. You know, this, it doesn't pay attention to the relationship. Why is your voice, why is your voices being kind of sectioned off? And that, and it's that idea of the inevitability of failure when we're trying to do something that we think of as being just, but we haven't done it from a space where we've checked in and we've, you know, said, is this how you want to present it? So that was really important for me in my research to think, you know, when I was having conversations with my doctoral research was all with women who'd experienced sexual abuse, and, you know, trying to convey their stories, which was so important to convey, but coming from, I have experienced abuse and sexual violence in my life, but not in the way that they had. Mm-hmm. And so trying to kind of find ways that we do that whilst recognising I was always going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
Or, you know, wrong in inverted commas. I was always going to trip myself up, and I was always going to not be satisfied. And in a way, that is the point. Mm-hmm. It's the point is to not be satisfied. Because if I had been satisfied, you know, what would that really achieve?
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me, and I often speak about my work as an imperfection project. Because I think perfectionism is white supremacy, capitalism and patriarchy hanging out together. This idea that you have to have everything right before you go public with anything, because God forbid you get a critique, as opposed to activism, which is, you know, most of my work, as I've said, is trying to bring everything we know from social justice movements and trying to bring that into community work and counseling. So in activism, we welcome and create cultures of accountability where there's like this, you know, this beautiful cultural critique and inquiry and questioning of things that's not personal, not seen as an attack, not seen as corrective or carceral in any way. It's seen as part of the creative project of trying to move justice forward. Mm-hmm. And I think about Noam Chomsky, probably for me the most important, you know, thinker around still. And Noam Chomsky talks about how we can't even envision social justice. We don't come from socially just societies. We can't even envision it. Like, this is world building on the biggest scheme. We're trying to envision a world that would be just. We couldn't write a manuscript for that. We don't have that. So this imperfection project, you know, thinking of the work as an imperfection project invites a necessity of a messy practice that's committed to getting it wrong.
Growing Conversations is proudly produced by Community Storywork on behalf of the Center for Systemic Studies.